you been gone," Galt explained. "Our beloved neighbors have made a dicker with that sheep company to sell out the basin. Ewling's threatened to tar and feather the first sheep man that sets foot on this range."
"And what's that got to do with me?"
"Plenty," Sheriff Piers muttered. His watery blue eyes fixed a hard stare on Ed January. "Ewling knows where the other basin outfits stand. Knows they're selling for a better price than he can lay on the line for their spreads. He don't know about you. He aims to make sure. So he's sent in his understrapper to make you another offer."
"He made me an offer before I went away. I told him it was no dice."
Ed laughed, a laugh that wasn't reflected in his surface-glinted blue eyes.
"But if this is the way he wants it, it'll be a pleasure to talk to friend Dyson."
"You think it will," Piers said acidly. "Start anything and I'll jug the lot of you."
Ed January's brows came up in mock surprise. "It'd be worth it just to see how long you could hold Kip Eisen in that jail of yours, Sheriff. You've been in office long enough to know who keeps you there."
The official mask of Sheriff Pierce's face was broken for a moment by a real and sudden anger. "Any man that says I play along with Ewling is a liar," he stated flatly. "You need taking down a peg or two, January."
"You taking over the job?" Ed drawled.
Tom Galt said hastily, "Pull in your horns, you two. Piers, we won't start anything unless we're prodded into it. And we ain't walking around anything either."
The hot flush that had clouded the lawman's face gradually receded. After a moment in which his hostile stare held to Ed, he growled,
"Don't say I didn't warn you," and walked off.
They waited until the choppy tread of his boots had passed out of hearing around the far corner of the station. Then Ed said,
"He's making it mighty plain. That puts about the whole pack against us, don't it?
You could pull out of it."
"And let Ewling claim he ran me out?"
Ed slowly shook his head.
"No, thanks. I worked 10 years to earn the money for that layout. I'll hang on to it."
"Lines you up square in the middle, don't it? The basin outfit's hating you because no sheep company can operate without a right-of-way through your place to summer graze in the mountains. And Ewling not trusting you not to sell out him and the rest of the cattlemen. Well, you have one more chance before they touch off the fireworks. If you're smart, you'll take it."
I stay."
"Why? There's 100 other places you could go for a new start. Ewling's offer is fair."
Ed smiled thinly.
"If you're through singing your psalms, we might get on up the street and see Eisen," he drawled.
Tom Galt's homely face broke into a wide grin.
"It was worth trying anyway," he said a little sheepishly.
He picked up Ed's suitcase and led the way around the freight platform and back to a hitch rail where two ponies, a chestnut and a roan, stood tied. He unlaced the pouch to the chestnut's saddle and lifted out a heavy shell belt and a holster, handing them across to Ed and saying,
"Thought you might need this."
He wore his own weapon, a .44 Colt, rammed through the waistband of his faded blue Levi's. Ed took off his coat and hung it on the saddle horn. He removed a shoulder holster that hung at his armpit and transferred the weapon, a Colt single action .38, to the other holster, which he cinched about his waist and thonged low on his right thigh. Then, getting into his coat again, he asked,
"Is Les Pace the one that's bringing in this sheep outfit?"
Galt nodded, swore roundly.
"Damned if I can figure that man. You'd swear he was born with a branding iron in his hand. Yet he'll sell out a cattle range like this. No wonder Ewling's riled."
They started out along the cinder-surfaced path that led from the station to the town's main thoroughfare, marked in the darkness by a shadowed line of poplars and cottonwoods. Into the brief silence, Galt said,